السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وبينهما حجاب، وعلى الأعراف رجال يعرفون كلا بسيماهم، ونادوا أصحاب الجنة أن سلام عليكم لم يدخلوها وهم يطمعون. صدق الله العلي العظيم، وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Chapter number 7 in the Holy Quran, Surah Al-A'raf, is one of the late Meccan surahs, meaning that it was revealed in the late period in the city of Mecca. And this is one of the longer chapters in the Quran. It covers a wide array of topics, among them the topic in which the chapter is named after, Al-A'raf. The chapters in the Quran each go by a certain name, and usually the name is based on a single theme which could be mentioned once or could be mentioned throughout the chapter. So Surah Al-Baqarah, for instance, the longest chapter in the Quran, almost 300 verses, is named so because Al-Baqarah, the cow, is mentioned once, even though the chapter deals with a wide array of topics. Likewise with Surah Al-A'raf. And it is named so because of the mentioning of Al-A'raf. So what is Al-A'raf? Al-A'raf, according to commentators, refers to an elevated place. Because an elevated place is mentioned as the setting of a scene which takes place on the Day of Judgment. And on the Day of Judgment, we have a number of settings. There's a place designated for those who will be cast into the hellfire, which are very, very few. In the Islamic view, very, very few. Most shall be granted paradise, because mercy is the overwhelming, mercy is at the forefront of God's attributes. As much as punishment is mentioned, but mercy is at the forefront of God's attributes. Mercy and forgiveness. So there's this place referred to as Al-A'raf, the heights, an elevated place. And God mentions this place as between the heaven and hellfire. So if you can imagine, there's a place where those who will be cast into the hellfire on one end, and on the other end, those who have been granted paradise. And this verse, verse number 46, says that between these two areas, وَبَيْنَهُمَا حِجَابٌ. The word hijab means there's a veil, there's a barrier between them. That's the literal meaning of the word hijab, is barrier. Even though it can mean different things in different contexts. But here it means there's a barrier. And where that barrier is, there are a'raf, there's an elevated place. And with that place, God says, وَعَلَى الْأَعْرَافِ رِجَالٍ. There are people on those on that elevated place. يَعْرِفُونَ كُلًّا بِسِيمَاهُمْ. Those people that are upon the elevated place, يَعْرِفُونَ, meaning they know and they recognize everybody by the mark on their face. سِيمَاهُمْ. When we say سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ. Believers are the ones who, you can tell by their expression. There's a facial expression. Because another description on the Day of Judgment is when people are presented with their verdict, it reflects by the expression on their face. So there are people that are laughing. وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُضْحِكَ وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُبْشِرَ ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَ. So some people, they receive their glad tidings with a smile on their face. And then there are other faces that are dark and gloomy because they've also received their verdict. So these people that are standing on this elevated platform, this elevated place, they're able to recognize, because when you're standing at an elevation, you're able to recognize, you're able to see, you have better sight than a person who is at a lower level. Right now we're at ground level, and so if you step outside, there are certain things that you can't see. But when this rain clears up, hopefully not soon, we pray that it doesn't clear up too soon. When it clears up, one thing that happens here, especially in the Southern California, in the LA area, is if you go to an elevated place, you can see a far distance. If you go up to Mount Baldy, you can see Catalina, 100 miles away. Even though here, we're closer to Catalina, but if you step outside, you're not able to see it because you're not at an elevated position. But you go farther, but because you're at an elevated position, you're able to see it. So these people, they're described in this verse as they're standing at a high place, an elevated position, they're able to see everybody. And so this sets the stage for the next coming verses. What happens? Because they're able to see the people of hellfire, and they're able to see the people of paradise. And they're able, according to these verses, they're able to conversate with each group. They're able to converse with each group. They're able to ask them questions. What got you to this place that you're at right now? So he says, وَعَلَى الْأَعْرَافِ رِجَالٌ يَعْرِفُونَ كُلًّا بِسِيمَاهُمْ. So they speak to the people of paradise. وَنَادُوا أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ. When they see the people of heaven and paradise, they call upon them. وَنَادُوا أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ. What's the first thing that is said to the people of paradise? وَنَادُوا أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ أَنْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. That's the first greeting that the people of paradise hear. Salamun alaykum. This is the universal greeting as Muslims we offer to each other and to others as well. Salamun alaykum means peace be upon you. And this is a theme of paradise where there is, it's not just the, you know, the material or the materials or the physical pleasures that are described, because there's castles and there's rivers and there's food and drink and nothing is limited, and there's water and there's beautiful scenery and there's beautiful people and there's servants. These are all descriptions, yes. But what is above all of that is the harmony, the tranquility, and the peace, the inner peace that you find yourself at, finally. Salamun alaykum. So that's the first thing that they're greeted with, is peace be upon you. So these people that are at the elevated place, they're able to see, they know what's going to happen. So they say to the people of paradise, Salamun alaykum. Right? In another chapter, Udkhuluha bisalamin aminin. Enter it with peace. Enter it in a state of safety and security. Salamun qawlan min rabbin rahim. What they hear from their merciful Lord is salam, peace. So you enter a state of peace, you enter a state of tranquility. And that's the greatest thing about paradise, heaven, is the feeling of inner peace. Finally, I'm at peace. Because the narrations describe, the traditions, they describe this world, as much as it has, it describes this world as the prison of the believers. a believer, a true believer, finds this place to be a prison. And so they find themselves on that day with peace. Salamun alaykum. It's a very, very beautiful expression. Because in order to give peace, when you say to a person, Salamun alaykum, you have to be at peace yourself. There's a saying in the Arabic language, it says, فَاقَدُ الشَّيْءِ لَا يُعْطِي. That which does not have, cannot give. Or he who does not have, cannot give. So if you don't have time, you cannot give time. If you don't have energy, you can't invest into somebody else, invest your energy into somebody else. If you don't have money, you cannot give money. So that which does not have, cannot give. So if you're not at peace yourself, you can never offer peace to other people. That's why it's such a powerful expression when we say Salamun Alaikum. Because you have to be at peace to offer another person peace, to say that peace be upon you. So that's the first thing that they're going to hear. They're going to hear the expression, An Salamun Alaikum. لَمْ يَدْخُلُوهَا وَهُمْ يَطْمَعُونَ. So, one commentary says, it talks about, well, who are these people? If they're not the people of paradise, and they're not the people of hell, who are they? Who are these people that are on an elevated place? There's a number of opinions regarding this. Commentators say that one group of people that are put in this elevated position where they can see everything are people who, when it comes to their faith and when it comes to the practices of their faith, are negligent. They're negligent. They know it's important. They know they have to do it. Like many of the things that we know are important in our lives, but we put it off. If you can write a list today of tasks that you were supposed to complete last week or last month or in the past 6 months, many of us, because of the busy lives that we live and what have you, there's a number of tasks that you know is important. Something that's broken in the house that needs fixing, or you know, your car needs an oil change or whatever, that you know is important, it's vital, but you keep putting it off. You're negligent. So one opinion says that these people are the ones that are negligent when it comes to their faith. They don't really place they know it's important, but they don't really follow through. And that's why they send their peace to the people of heaven, but it says, لَمْ يَدْخُلُوهَا وَهُمْ يَطْمَعُونَ. They'll see the people entering paradise, but they won't enter. وَهُمْ يَطْمَعُونَ. طَمَع is to want something. They'll want it, they'll desire it, and a lot of people, you know, they'll want something, but they don't desire it enough. And when you truly desire something, it doesn't matter what your circumstances are, you're going to go after that thing. But a lot of people say, especially at this time of year, I want to get in shape. I want to quit whatever, this bad habit. I want. It's not truly a desire that they have, which comes from inside, so there's not that much of an importance. It's just a want. It's not a need. So a lot of people, when it comes to their faith, yeah, I want to practice, I want to do more, I want to give more charity, I want to do this, I want to do that, but it's not a desire, so they're sort of negligent. So God says that these people have to, now we'll talk about what ends up happening, where what the destination becomes for them. But in the meantime, they have to watch everybody else go in, and they have to wait. But they send their peace and their blessings upon those people. So one opinion says that these are the negligent and slacking people. Another opinion says that these are the people whom their good deeds and their bad deeds are equal. They managed to, you know, they managed to do just the proper amount of good and the proper amount of evil, to where it's exactly equal. It's a 50-50. And so they're in limbo. You know, the angels don't know what to do with this person. It's 50-50. If it was 49-51, we could manage something, but it's 50-50. So that's one opinion. It says the 50-50 people, they're watching, and they're in between. Again, this elevated place is, it's near a barrier, which is in between the heaven and the hell. So they're right there where they belong, in between. A third interpretation gives a more historical context. It says that the people who, in the early days of Islam, when during the defensive battles, during the defensive wars, when they would go out in battle without their parents' permission, because it was an obligation to defend the nation at that time, to defend their faith, but their parents, because of an emotional attachment that they had to them, they didn't want to see them lose their life. They told them not to go, but they did anyways. So they did good, but they did bad, because they did good because they fulfilled a requirement, which is defense of the faith, but they also did bad because they disobeyed their parents. And the Quran places a huge emphasis on obedience to the parents. The only time you do not obey your parents is if they ask you to disbelieve in God. But in every other circumstance, it is a moral right that you owe to your parents that you must obey them. And then a fourth opinion, and this is offered by Shaykh Al-Tusi, he says the following. He says that these are the people that they await the intercession. They have done good, but they're awaiting intercession from the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. So that when they enter with them. They go in a group. So once they're standing there, the verses then continue. It says the following. It says, وَإِذَا صُرِفَتْ أَبْصَارُهُمْ تِلْقَاءَ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ. So they look to the people of paradise, and they send their blessings upon them. And then they look to the other side. They look to the people of hellfire. And if they glance upon them, they say, قَالُوا رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. O Allah, O God, please do not place us among those people who are cursed, who are damned. So they're standing there and they're actually offering a prayer to God not to cast them in the place that those people, the oppressors, and the word is not sinners, it's not those who disobey, but it is the oppressors. Do not cast us among those, do not cast us among the oppressors. And then the conversation continues. So it talks about a group of people who inhabit the A'raf, the heights. وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ الْأَعْرَافِ رِجَالًا يَعْرِفُونَهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ قَالُوا مَا أَغْنَى عَنْكُمْ جَمْعُكُمْ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. So these people on the A'raf, they're continuing upon the heights. They're at this elevated position. They're continuing to speak to the people who the verse is later described as forgetting God in this life, and because they forgot about God in this life, they were forgotten on that day. When you forget about God, you become forgotten on that day. And they have a conversation with them. They tell them, you know, you spent your entire life creating wealth, gathering money, gathering materials. You spent your life heedless. You spent your life not in the remembrance of God. So they asked them, the people on the heights, they asked the people who are cast to the hellfire, was it worth it? Was it worth it, all of this? Has anything that you accumulated in this life, was it buried with you in the grave? And did you benefit from it? Was it placed on your scale when your scale of deeds was there? Were any of the material belongings that you had placed on that scale? So it's a continuation of a conversation they had. And then two verses later, it says the following. It says, وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ. So the people of the hellfire, they begin to speak to the people of paradise. They say to them the following. وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ أَنْ أَفِيضُوا عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ ومما رزقكم الله. A field comes from faith, which means what? It means that which is extra. And faith, right, we refer to flood as fayadan, that which overflows. An overflow. Faith is an overflow. They say, because they see the people of paradise, they see the people of heaven in such a good state, they say, give us or grant us some of the water and some of the food that God has blessed you with, now that you're in this paradise. And what is understood by this is that the people of hellfire, one of the types of torment that they feel is extreme thirst. Extreme thirst. And many of our chapters of the Quran, they talk about how they feel thirsty, but the type of water that they will have to drink. That it's a boiling water. It's a boiling, steaming water. And that when they drink it, it does nothing to quench their thirst. It only makes them thirstier. And they begin to feel more intense thirst. So these people call out to the people of heaven who have fresh, pure water which runs from springs, which is never ending. And they say, share with us some of that which God has given you. And so the reply is the following. Pour some water down upon us, or some of that which God has provided you, some of the rizq, so the sustenance that God has provided you. They will respond. So the people of heaven, they respond. They say, truly God has forbidden them both to the disbelievers. We would, but God has prohibited it. We can't share this with you. This is something that you have to earn. قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَهُمَا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ It's forbidden. It's forbidden. You're unable to drink this. This drink, this food, this water, it's reserved for a certain group of people. It's not for everybody. So a conversation takes place. Now the commentators, they say that the people who are upon the A'raf, for whatever reason, either they're 50-50, or maybe they disobeyed their parents, but they did something of value, which was good. Or people who had faith, but were negligent when it came to their practice. Or people who had hope as well. Because hope is also, hope in the mercy of God is a big factor which determines our destination. There's one tradition, I've mentioned it a few times, there's one tradition that says that on that day when the sorting is complete, all of the sorting, everybody's destination on that day, on the Day of Judgment, is determined. There's one final person and he is condemned to the hellfire and he's walking towards the hellfire. And he turns around and he says to God, my Lord, he says something of the nature of مَا هَكَذَا ظَنُّ بِكْ, that my Lord, I had optimism, I had hope, I didn't think that you would actually punish me because I knew you are the most merciful. I recognized your mercy and I had hope in that mercy. And because of that recognition of the mercy, not because of his deeds, but because of the recognition of the mercy of God, God changes the path of that person from the hellfire to the heaven. Simply because he recognized that God is the most merciful. Because he had hope. Because when you have hope, it's something which lingers in your mind. You know that even if I do evil, God's mercy is bigger than any evil I can do. And that's what we talk about when we say that God's mercy is all-encompassing. So, most commentators agree that the people of the heights, Al-A'raf, at the end of the day, God permits them a pass to the heaven. That they'll notice all of this, they'll watch this, they'll have the conversation with the people of the hellfire and the people of the heaven, but at the end of the day, God will send them in there. Because God is most merciful. But it says the following. It says, and commentators say this, they say, first of all, they're the last to do so. They have to watch everybody else. So everybody else goes in and they're the last to do so. And they're referred to as the poor of heaven. Because, you know, the rich of heaven or the wealthy of heaven are the ones who go there abundantly. And when we mean abundantly, of course, isn't with, again, it's not with their materials, but abundant in good deeds. So when you come abundant with good deeds, you enter. You enter right away. But they're referred to as the poor of the heaven. Some also say, and just to put that there, some people also say that these people include those who have not reached the age of moral responsibility, buluh, and they have passed, God will enter them into the heaven. So children, babies, that nature, people of that nature. Or people who simply live not fully sane in this life. God will not punish those people if they happen to do wrong. He will send them in. And there's one more category of people that commentators discuss. And it says those are the people who, because Islam, by the way, Islam believes in itself as the one true faith, as the one true religion. However, Islam does not believe that heaven is reserved only for Muslims. Not at all. So it believes in itself as the one true faith, but it does not believe that heaven in the afterlife is reserved only for Muslims. So commentators say that it's the people who did not know what the truth was, did not recognize what the truth was, and they misbelieved, not intentionally, but out of ignorance, because the true message was never delivered to them. And today, it's the age of information, but it's also the age of ignorance. Because there's so much information out there, there's also a lot of misinformation out there as well. And if we've learned anything in the past 6 months or a year, is the way that misinformation and misrepresentation can shape the minds and hearts of people. So people who watch TV all day, and their biggest source of information is, you know, Fox News or CNN or whatever, all the channels. I don't support or condemn a channel. They're all at the same level. They all have the same agenda. Misinformation. As much information as there is, there's misinformation, so people are confused about what reality is. But a lot of those people, and a lot of you have met them, are very well-intentioned people. When they recognize what the truth is, they embrace the truth. So those who have not been given the chance to recognize the truth and see reality as it is, they are among the people of the heights which enter the heavens. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to see reality as it is. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us in the shadow of His mercy on that day. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك قاضي الحاجات إنك على كل شيء قدير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين